Sometimes boomers like to look back to our youth and do some reminiscing. We don't have to live in the past, but it can be a nice place to visit. In this episode, we'll travel through music, TV shows, technology, cars, and some of what we thought our future would be like back in our 20s.
Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation, with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
My last episode focused on what can happen when we don't keep in touch with longtime friends. This episode is a reminiscing conversation with a longtime friend who I am in touch with a couple of times a week, even though we live 5 time zones and 4,700 miles apart, Sherry Bracken. And what I want to do is to start with something that establishes our age without saying the number.
So I should not mention that I've known you for 50 years.
I was just going to say that this summer, it'll be 50 years that we've known each other. That's incredible.
It's amazing.
And we've only lived in the same area for 3 of those years.
I know. Well, I was looking at your list and you talk about some of your favorite music in your 20s. You mean, Bernie, when we were together in New Orleans when I was in my 20s and you too?
Yeah.
I know.
And yeah. I was playing some of that music on the radio as my first DJ job. Yeah.
Bernie in the Morning.
Yeah. So what music were you listening to then?
That was, I hate to say it, 50 years ago. Do I remember? Yes, I do. Because you and I were both living in New Orleans at the time. And I just remember the music at that time that was just so popular. And I specifically think about Lynyrd Skynyrd and all those Southern rock groups that, because we lived in New Orleans, somehow seemed more relevant, et cetera. Yeah. But then even when I moved back to the San Francisco area, which was in 1970, the beginning of 77, you know, that was the time of all these great groups, Creedence Clearwater and the Grateful Dead and all that. One of the benefits of living in New Orleans was, other than when I lived in Covington across the lake, which was a pretty long commute, and I did listen to a lot of music. The rest of the time, commute was pretty short. So the music that we listened to was mostly, you know, after work, going out after work with some of the friends that were our mutual friends.
Right.
But when I moved back to California, then I got into serious commuting. And I could listen to music a little bit on the drive, but mostly I had to listen to the traffic and weather, because right. The traffic was absolutely key when you are commuting into San Francisco from any place in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah. So do you
still? Yeah, and I still like that music.
Yeah.
I bet you do, too.
I do. And some of it I like more now than I did then. Some groups like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, you know, I certainly listened to them, played them on the radio. But I like that music more now, and to some degree, the songs that weren't really on the radio all the time. But
one of the things that makes me laugh about listening to music now is I didn't know the words to a lot of the songs back in the day. I thought I did, but I did not. And now, especially when you can play music online and you can see the lyrics, it's like, oh, that's what that was.
What kind of music do you listen to now?
Well, first of all, I listen to less music than I ever did, because I listen more to podcasts and interviews, talk radio, things like that. But jazz, I love jazz, you know, and I still love the music of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of 60s, 70s and then the 80s. But the more recent music, I don't listen to as much, because at least here on the Big Island of Hawaii, it's not played that much. I think a lot of the modern music, or I'm just not that interested in it, or I'm just not listening enough to pay that much attention.
Yeah, I don't seek it out as much as I used to. And it was real when I was working in radio, even though I was doing country music, which I've become a fan of and still love. But I was in a group of radio stations that included, you know, what we used to call Top 40. And and so I was exposed to a lot of music right up until a couple of years ago. And so I paid some attention to it and I liked some of it too, but I kind of like everything. If you put my phone on shuffle, you could have, you could have Creedence Clearwater Revival, Garth Brooks, Dua Lipa, and Mozart all back to back.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. I love classical music too. And just, you know, you and I, have a mutual friend who sadly has passed away, John Brophy.
Yeah.
And John became my housemate when I moved back to San Francisco. And John loved classical music and would stand in the living room and conduct whatever he was listening to. So he helped me enjoy classical music more, as well as our old friend Melanie Plesch. There was some music that she really liked that it's like, oh wow, pictures at an exhibition. I always think of Melanie when I listen to that.
Yeah. And she was a pretty good piano player, but she eventually switched to cello. And I never did. I didn't really, you know, we were just loosely connected online at that point. So I didn't really ever hear her play, but that was, that became her instrument in her last, I don't know, at least 20 years of her life. And she got me into classical music back in the day. And John got me into jazz. I mean, I still remember, you know, Dave Brubeck and some other, you know, very traditional jazz people that he also liked.
Well, Hawaii Public Radio here in the state, they have a great jazz show every evening from 8 p.m. till 10. And oftentimes that's when I'm getting ready to go to bed. So I listen to that. And then the good thing after that, if I happen to be awake after that, there's a show called Bridging the Gap that plays all kinds of music, new, old, everything. And I really like that too, because it keeps me up to date with some of the music that I might not normally hear.
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
We're doing some Boomer reminiscing with my dear friend of 50 years, Sherry Bracken. TV shows.
Oh,
what were some TV of your favorites shows back in the, you know, at any point in your youth?
Well, it's funny that you talk about TV shows, because as we both know, back in the day, you didn't record things. You watched them when they happened.
Right.
And the Thursday night lineup, the comedy lineup, was so fabulous with MASH and shows like that.
Yeah.
Now, these days, everything that my husband and I watch that's a network show, we record it all.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, so we don't miss it. And secondly, so if I don't like the commercials, we can fast forward. Even though I am a commercial watcher, I like watching commercials if they're clever, funny, amusing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the comedy shows back then on Thursday nights, you had to kind of be there and you had to stay awake for them too.
Right, right. And well, I remember the first time I visited you in San Francisco, you had a few friends over and we were watching Saturday Night Live, and it was a fairly new show then.
Saturday Night Live started when I was living in New Orleans, and I remember so many nights you and I spent out at the farm.
Yeah.
Everybody would lie around and we would watch Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
The good thing about living in New Orleans was it was on an hour early, and I am just not a late night person. So the thing now, I can record it because I still enjoy it. I enjoy the Weekend Update. I enjoy satirical news shows because real news is a little bit too depressing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Although I record a lot of stuff. We binge watch a lot of things. You know, it's and we still have cable. I know streaming is the big thing now, and we have that too. But we still have cable for what we call the regular channels, which is just the,
us,
you know,
too.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And those I can record. I haven't figured out how to record, you know, my streaming stuff yet. That's just me being a boomer.
But I have to tell you, a show that my husband and I really enjoy now is called Ghosts.
I've seen it.
I don't know if you've ever watched it.
No.
But I love it. I love it. Watch it.
Yeah. I gravitate toward, I've watched every episode of NCIS, every episode of NCIS New Orleans, and some of the other NCISs, you know, that kind of. You know, and they've rebooted another one, CSI, that was out, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. That's back in another form now. And, you know, so that's the kind of stuff I like. And my wife, Jennifer, likes, when we binge watch older things, we're going through Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, and we're over the last several months, it's like every night we might watch something else and then we'll kind of watch that before going to bed because it's, you know, it's less depressing or, you know, or whatever. And I think we're up to season 8.
Well, we are also NCIS fans, but I have to tell you, I am not wild about NCIS Hawaii, but I love the regular NCIS, NCIS LA. I was sorry they took that off. And I loved NCIS New Orleans, mostly because of the locations.
Oh, yeah.
The nice thing is now with streaming, we can see movies. And I have always been a movie lover, and I like going to a theater, the big screen, the big sound. But during COVID, when we did get a bigger TV, I found that I can enjoy watching movies at home. That's nice, even though it's still fun to go to the movie theater with my girlfriends and see things. You know, like Barbie and Oppenheimer, we went to see those in person.
Oh, yeah. I saw Oppenheimer on a big screen TV. I haven't seen Barbie. People told me I might like it, but I haven't seen it.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah. And there's one of the luxury theaters in our neighborhood with the seats and the, you know, you can get wine and food brought to your seats. And we kind of like that experience up to a point, but it's been a while since we've done it. We've been watching even things like Oppenheimer and newer ones just at home or with friends.
Well, one of our problems here on the Kona side of the Big Island is we did have, actually we had 3 theaters for a while, and then it cut down to 2. And now we literally have only 1 movie theater. So that makes it a bit challenging because, of course, movie theaters want to go for the blockbusters. And I like the independent kind of movies, and they don't get a lot of screen time here.
Yeah, that's true. So we're both over 70. Did you have any vision in your 20s of what life would be like in your 70s?
My only vision when I was in my 20s was that I wanted to put as much money into my retirement savings account, which I had when I started working for South Central Bell, to be able to be financially independent when I was 60 at the oldest. But 70s, I didn't even envision being 70. It's not that I thought I would not live this long. I thought I would because my grandmother was 98 when she died. My great aunt was 106. I have longevity in the family. But I never had a vision of what it would be like. And I'm happy with the way it is because I feel like I'm younger than my parents were when they were in their 70s. And you know, Bernie, I'm still doing all the things that I can possibly do. I can play tennis, which I just did this morning before we are chatting now. And it's actually really pleasant to not be working and have time just to do stuff.
Yeah.
But no, I had no vision.
Yeah, I didn't either. And they live a long time in my family too, especially my mother's side. She and all her siblings made it to their 90s. They were born in an era when the life expectancy was less than the age we are now. I had no vision of it. And you know, and putting the money away, it's like, I should have learned that lesson from my dad, but I didn't. And I was just extremely lucky that, you know, things like 401ks and, you know, other stuff like that did well with my not paying any attention to them until it was time. It's like, oh, okay, that's a little more than I thought. I can actually retire.
My one piece of advice for people who are younger and entering the workforce, it may be a little painful, but save as much money as you can in a 401k or whatever, because you'll be very happy about that when you're of an age that we are.
Is there anything you miss about your youth or wish that you still had or could get back?
I don't think I miss anything other than 2 examples. And one was in New Orleans and one was when I moved back to California, just having great groups of friends that it was just, we were always doing things together, whether it was hanging out at somebody's house or going to, let's say, a pizza parlor and having the DJ play the music we wanted. Oh, that was you, Bernie. Oh,
that's right. That's how we met. That's how we met, yeah.
Going, you know, just hanging out with friends. And we have very good friends here in Kona, and I really appreciate that. It's just different.
Yeah.
I've had a really good life, I think. I've enjoyed the work I've done and had very many different kinds of travel and work experiences. And I guess the main thing is that I'm glad that you and I both were alive at a time where travel was actually easier than it is now.
Yeah.
And not just because we're older and we're less physically capable, but just the world started changing a lot at 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be able to get to the San Francisco airport 30 minutes before my flight, park at the expensive parking, walk in and jump on United Airlines. Now you have to spend so much more time planning, and it's, yeah. And part of it is, I suppose, that we are older and it's more of a hassle.
Yeah, I used to love travel, and I still love the idea of travel, but it's more challenging for the reasons you mentioned. And in my case, I have some additional mobility issues, so it slows things down even more. And like you said, I mean, I still remember when I lived in Dallas, there were times I could just go to what was then called Love Field and buy my ticket on Southwest for the hour and 10-minute flight to New Orleans and get on the plane, the next one, because there was one like every hour on that route during the week, and no big deal. You know, it's like, I can't do that.
Boomer randomness.
My longtime friend Sherry Bracken and I are doing some boomer reminiscing in this episode. It's funny, I think, that you and I have conversations about cars pretty regularly. But I remember when we were first hanging out in our 20s, my ride was that big, bright yellow Ford van that was going to be
Yeah, you could see you coming from a mile away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you had the coolest little sporty two-seater of anyone I knew at the time.
I loved it. It was a 260Z, a Datsun 260Z. And I had the greatest time, and it was super fun, and I could drive very fast. And true confessions, and I may have told you this before, when I lived in Covington, which is across the Lake Pontchartrain Bridge from Metairie, I would sometimes drive 100 miles an hour on my way home because it was two lanes in one direction. And if it was later in the evening and there was no traffic and you could kind of see from the headlights, and it was a completely divided highway.
Yeah.
I can't believe now that I did that. It was so stupid. But nevertheless, I did it.
Yeah.
But it was such a fun car.
Oh,
I loved it. And I took it back to California with me. When I was moving back, my mom and dad sent my 10-year younger than me brother to accompany me. And we had a very nice drive from New Orleans to Los Angeles. And then I went up to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I had that car for many, many years.
I have a story about that, about your car. You'll
you'll
remember this. This is another thing I would never do now, but the one of the times that I visited you in San Francisco, another friend of ours was visiting there, and I cannot remember his name. Clyburn something.
Oh, Greg Clyburn.
Yeah, he was visiting there.
He was like 6'4".
Yes.
Or 3 or
yes.
2. He was very tall.
Yes, and the three of us went to lunch somewhere in your car, in your two-seater. And
who was in the back?
Me, being 5'10", was in the back where there's no seat and no seat belt. And I would never do that now. But wherever we went, I don't remember exactly where it was. Actually, I do. It was a restaurant on the water in Sausalito.
Oh, cool. I know which one we would have gone to. Trying to think of the name, because it was a restaurant that when the weather was good, those of us in San Francisco who worked together, we would go over to Sausalito to eat there. And it was just so much fun. You know, the weather in San Francisco is not warm in general.
Right.
And on those rare days where we had warm weather, we would take full advantage. And it was just so much fun to go to Sausalito and, yeah, hang out. And I was probably working at the time at what was called the Executive Communications Center, which was a very casual thing. Or else I was in sales, also a pretty casual thing, meaning schedule-wise.
Right.
So,
right.
No, yeah.
That was fun. And somewhere in my vast collection of stuff in boxes over in the other part of this room, I have a picture of the three of us at that restaurant, but I have no idea.
I haven't seen it
in a long time, but I can visualize the picture.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, and it was really fun when you came and visit. And I have a picture of Greg and you and me, John Brophy, Kate, Kathy Stefano. We would go to the wineries, as you know, on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Marin County, north of San Francisco. So going up to the wine country was easy.
Oh, yeah.
And back in the day, the wine tasting was not like today where you pay for it. You would just go to the different wineries, and there weren't that many of them, and it was a fabulous, fun day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That group of us went to three. I still remember that. And And by the time we got to the third one, we skipped the tour and just went right to the tasting.
Also, I know, once you've seen one winery, you've seen them all, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's something else I probably wouldn't do now in terms, or I'd make sure we had one or a designated driver for each car. You know, I wouldn't, even a wine tasting, you still end up, even with just samples, you still end up with several glasses of wine by the time you're done with it. You know, but I, you know, and I don't remember that. I mean, there were enough of us, it must have been three cars or something, but two or three cars. But, and I do have that picture, all of us, and that's in front of the Sebastiani winery.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of the old school winery, and the guy that did the tour was a little bit like the commercials, the Gallo commercials at the time, the little old winemaker. This guy
exactly
looked like that.
Yeah. No, that was so fun. And a few years ago, I went to Napa with our friend John Brophy and wife Kate Brophy and Kathy Stefano. Kathy was house sitting, and the winery experience now is just so different. Napa is still absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. My favorite time there is fall, I think. But the winery experience is very different. There are so many different wineries now, rather than like half a mile between them. You're like cheek by jowl almost. And, you know, it's just, it's a different experience. You're buying the wine tasting, and it's different than just the way it was. So
yeah. What
can I say? The old days were fun.
Yeah. Although next time you visit here, there's a really good winery 10 minutes from where I live.
Ooh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I visited some friends. I don't know if you know the word Hanai, but Hanai means sort of like an informal child. And my Hanai daughter, Stephanie Walker, who is Mike Walker's daughter, she and her husband live in the Seattle area. And we went to some wineries. And it was so fun.
Yeah, yeah. Washington State
not
wine's
exactly
pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the Napa experience we had all those years ago, but it was very fun and nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we're doing Boomer reminiscing. What are some other... back to the cars for a second. We were talking about the sporty car and the van that I had. What do you drive now?
Now I have a Honda Accord. And my car before this was a Toyota Camry, which is a very similar car.
Yeah.
You know, I've graduated. I've thought about, gee, would it be fun to have a little car like that again? Not really. Going to Costco would be very tough.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, comfort is now one of the things that I like.
That is funny. It's an interesting, you know, change from our youth, certainly. And I think other people listening to this probably have the same experience. Although one of my neighborhood friends has a nice little sporty Miata that he's around all the time. So the youngest boomers are turning 60 this year. So since we're ahead of them by a few years, any advice for them as they get into the 60s and 70s?
Well, at this point, if they're already in their 60s, presumably they've lived the life they want. But like I said, when people are younger, my main advice is put as much money as you can into your 401k. So when you do get to be the 60s and 70s, you're not financially strapped. But basically just, you know, focus on your health and focus on doing the things that are important. People live so much longer these days than ever before, and people need to take advantage. That said, as you know, I got a job when we moved over here to Kona. I ended up being in radio, just like you. You were my role model. And it was a wonderful second 17-year career. So if you enjoy working, keep on working, because I have always loved my work experiences. It's not that every day was great, but yeah, keep on working if you're having a good time, but also make time for the things that are fun. It's just, life is good.
Yeah, very good. Sherry Bracken, thank you. It's always a pleasure, and we're looking at each other. We don't have that benefit for the podcast, but we're looking at each other via Zoom, and that's a nice technology we didn't have in our youth.
You're exactly right, and I really appreciate it because it's nice to see you.
Here's what's coming up on Boomer Randomness.
I post new episodes on Tuesdays. Coming soon, a conversation with a financial expert about Boomer retirement planning. and also a chat with a friend about living part-time in Italy in retirement.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at BoomerRandomness.com. And check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer, thanks for listening. And tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.